Welcome to Fearless Dentistry, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of dentistry with your fearless host, Dr. John Gordon. Dr. Gordon will fearlessly guide you through the evolving landscape of dentistry. Get ready to embrace the fearless mindset and revolutionize your dentistry practice. This is Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon.
Welcome to this episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. John Gordon. And I'm excited today for my guest. It's Dr. Matt Allen. And I ran across Matt on LinkedIn, and I was kind of checking him out for a while. Wasn't stalking him by any means, but I guess you could kind of say I was stalking him. I ran across his profile, his bio on LinkedIn. And LinkedIn's been a great source for me to find and develop relationships with people like Matt. And it's been a delight. We had a little onboarding conversation a couple of weeks ago, Matt. But Matt's got a great product that I want to talk with, want him to share with you today. The podcast is about helping dentists take their practice a step higher. And one of the things that I talk about and I advocate strongly is communication. And part of communication is getting valuable feedback. And Matt, I think a lot of dentists, and you and I probably were guilty of this when we were practicing, is that we fib to ourselves a lot, and we think we're doing a lot better job than what we really are because we're fearful of facing reality, and we're fearful of being vulnerable. And so Matt and I are going to engage in a conversation today that is going to hopefully open your eyes. And then maybe at the end of the show, be willing to open your pocketbook and give him a call and register his product. I've investigated it. And so, Matt, welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, John. It's really a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for the opportunity to have this conversation. I'm always excited to get to chat with other leaders in the dental space who are excited about patient communication, about patient experience, and certainly in that first call that we got to have, certainly felt a kindred spirit there in yourself. So excited to dive deeper today and really get into it. Thanks for having me.
We did on our introduction with each other a couple of weeks ago. We both came away with a feeling that, you know, we've got some LinkedIn DNA here together and kind of a brotherhood. When I visit with people beforehand, I make notes, Matt, and there's a couple of things that I picked up on that I made a note on. And one of them, which is so critical, is listening to the patient's voice. You mentioned that, and I wrote that down, and I thought, that is awesome. Share with me.
Yeah, I think you're so spot on there, obviously, and certainly something that I think we're seeing a lot more of in the industry. I'll kind of go back to my roots maybe in that, and maybe through that just give a brief intro for some of your listeners who are not familiar at all with any of my work. So I'm a dentist by training. I worked in the federally qualified healthcare in a federally qualified health center in Denver for a number of years. I live in Colorado and now live in the mountains. My specific area of expertise is in what's called motivational interviewing. So an evidence-based behavior change communication strategy. Started in addiction therapy, kind of came to primary care. And over the last number of years, I've been helping to bring that idea and that style and those skills to dentistry via consulting work with, you know, the second largest dental payer in the country all the way down to private practice offices. And one of the kind of core tenets of this communication strategy is certainly listening, and what's actually called reflective listening. Some people call it active listening. I think reflective listening is actually more helpful in terms of understanding how to do it. I think a lot of people want to be good listeners. A lot of people have a desire to listen to people well. But the problem is just haven't been trained in it. And there's actually some very specific things that you can do that require training, probably. You might do some of them naturally, but it is helpful to be trained with regards to this. To be able to effectively let the patient know, or let whoever you're talking with know, doesn't have to just be a patient. Reflective listening could be with your friend or your child or whatever it might be. But to let them know you're tracking with them, and to continue the conversation, especially in a healthcare setting where as a dentist or a hygienist or a dental team member, we certainly want to achieve the goal of working towards oral health for that patient or completing a treatment plan or whatever it might be, right? That is actually moving the patient forward in their journey. And so there are ways that we can do that specifically. And I think it's more than just, you know, saying, oh, I'm listening to you, right? That's generally not that helpful. There are things that we can do that can be really helpful. And I think to your point, John, that I think our profession struggles with this. There's some really great research that came out of Mayo a number of years ago that most patients are interrupted on average every 11 seconds, which is 1 to 2 sentences, right? That's not a very long time after we ask a question. So we just tend to not be very good as healthcare providers in general about listening to our patients. And from some of our research at Different Kind, it is one of the factors that's most correlated with patients being willing to recommend you to their family and friends. So if you want to create raving patients within your practice, this is one of those core skills that really helps you do that. And you might be like, oh, my waiting room is beautiful. And, you know, all these other pieces, right? But it's like, if you can just actually become a better listener, right? You can start to create those raving patients and really leave people being like, wow, that was a different kind of dental experience for myself.
That is an interesting statistic. Patients are interrupted on the average of every 11 seconds. I can believe that.
Sadly.
Very sadly. And, you know, I think in the dental industry or in medicine, doctors, period, we too often want to hear our own voice, sharing our own opinion. We want to exercise our authority. We want to make sure that we maintain that doctor-patient imbalance versus create balance. And I liked what you said, reflective listening. I like that phrase. I'm going to have to do a podcast on that one right there myself. I love the reflective listening. With my practice, Matt, one of the things that really took me to the next level when I made a decision and actually committed to take my practice in a certain direction was I knew I had to learn to communicate better. And that was learning to listen. You know, I went through 2 year-long consulting programs with different consulting agencies. Mm-hmm. And most of them, well, both of them, had scripted responses. You start with this initial question this way, then you go to number B, C, D, and you follow it right on down. So I was so concerned remembering what to say and how to frame my question next that I didn't listen to what the patient said and responded to my first question.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a deal.
Totally. It's true, John. I think that there's this element when you get good at this, it really, I like to say that the whole world kind of falls away, right? When I'm talking with a patient or a friend or, you know, one of my children, right? And I'm doing this well, the whole world kind of falls away because I'm just so locked in on what they're saying and just tracking with them. And it's really evident from, you know, how I'm paying attention and what's coming out of my mouth after, which is generally a reflection of what they're saying, right? So they might say something like, you know, you might have a patient say, we hear this all the time, right? Like, I'm too busy to brush my teeth. And you know, a lot of people are like, well, can we help you find some time, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, yeah, like you're trying to solve the problem there. And that's not a bad thing. But a true reflective listening statement to that patient would be, you've got a lot going on. And they're like, yeah, I do, you know, and that's like a very different way of being seen as a patient than somebody immediately trying to solve your problem. It comes across as pretty dismissive over the course of time when you're immediately just saying, you know, hey, I will solve your problem. When you barely even know anything that's really going on with them, why that might be happening, et cetera. And so good reflective listening will get you to those outcomes that you want to be at more quickly, because ultimately the patient then is the one who can take ownership of that. And that's what we want, right? We don't want to continue to have patients coming back time after time after time, you know, not having made changes in their oral health behaviors that they ultimately want to make, but we're not supporting them actually in making those behaviors simply by educating them, right? In scare quotes. That's actually just not the way people make behavior changes. And so ultimately, you know, when we want to support our patients in our practice and again, keep them coming back again and again to kind of create these loyal, trusted relationships, you know, this skill is certainly one of the most crucial that we see out there.
You know, one of the best teachers of directing me towards reflective listening, it wasn't called that when my wife, Mary, and anybody that's married is going to relate to what I'm going to say here, is she would make comments to me of concern or whatever, you know, laying an opinion out there. Yep. And I would go into Mr. Fix-It mode. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we've all been there.
She stopped and put her hands on her hips, and I go, uh-oh. She said, I don't want your opinion. I don't want you to fix it. I just want you to listen. It's kind of like, whoa. And, okay, reflective listening. I then went into reflective thinking. And I thought, how often do I do this at the office? And so one of the next time Mary had, she's in all kinds of girl things, you know. And so next time she had Bunko over at our house, I went a distance away from them and I just observed their communication and how they talk and listen and share, but don't offer the fix it. And I thought, okay. So it was like, okay, John, man up and learn how to communicate like a woman to the people. And you laugh, and I know I did too. I thought, okay, that's kind of a strange comment, but reflective listening and active listening, the women are very good at it. Us guys, we're not, because we don't want, you know, listening like that seems vulnerable, and we can't lend ourselves to vulnerability. Do you find that a true statement?
Yeah, I do think that there is some you know, kind of stereotypical gender differences in terms of our standard communication styles that can be taken differently from patients. And I also think that certainly it's not something that can't be learned.
Correct.
Certainly, you know, this is something that is very learnable. There's really good evidence out there that shows that. One of my favorite kind of thinkers on this topic and the idea of just brain plasticity and whatnot is a researcher from the University of Madison, Wisconsin. He has a center called, a center called Center for Healthy Minds. And they've studied a lot of Buddhist researcher or sorry, Buddhist monks and done a lot of research on them in terms of how do you get your brain to actually change over time? And can you become more compassionate? Can you become more empathetic? I think we all have a certain kind of standard level of that maybe that we're born with, and those probably are different. We can learn these skills. And so I think for all of us out there, to your point earlier around, we just have to be open to that, right? We have to be open to the idea, especially as dentists, I would say in general, who have been trained in a way that seems very surgical. You know, at least that was my dental school experience. I'm guessing it was probably yours, that communication is not a soft skill, again, in scare quotes right there. It's a hard skill. It is an absolutely necessary skill for us to level up your practice like you're talking about. If we want to become the best dentist that we can be, it is absolutely mandatory that we think beyond a handpiece and that we move to not only the words that are coming out of our mouth, but how we use our ears, how we use our body language, how we do all of that to effectively communicate with the patient that we are there with them and that we are there to support them.
Yeah. Well, it's as you mentioned, it's definitely overlooked in dental school. And I, to a degree, I can understand they're preparing us for national boards and state boards, clinical boards. But once you get out, you know, you go into a private practice and there you are, you're stuck. You know the technical part, but you can't communicate with people effectively and it gets scary. And therefore we hibernate from the challenge. We don't tell ourselves the truth that, hey, I'm not very good at this and no one's out there to really help them. at least I, with me there wasn't, and you may have felt the same thing that where do I go to learn this? Yeah. And now that's where people such as you, Matt, and myself, this is what we're about. And I want to come around to you. You know, you also mentioned something about motivational interviewing. Share with us about that.
Yeah. So for me, that's again where, you know, so much genesis of what I do every day is based in this style. That really is based in being with the patient, being empathetic with the patient, and ultimately helping them to be the author of their own change. So again, I think that it's very known at this point from the literature that simply telling people what to do is not the most effective way to get behavior change, right? One of my favorite studies in all of dentistry came out in JDR 2020. A researcher in the UK named Cynthia Pine was the lead author on that. Actually got to go to Liverpool, meet with one of the researchers and her dental nurse, which is a dental assistant, so right before COVID, and had a conversation with them. They saw some amazing results with these kids who were going in for an extraction of a first primary molar. These dental nurses had had very little training in motivational interviewing, but one kind of three-hour training, and effectively had one conversation with the parents compared to the control group that had didn't have this conversation. They just had the extraction done, sent back to their general dentist. But we saw a 55% odds reduction in new caries for those kids who when their parents had that one 30-minute conversation with the parents prior to the extraction. And that's more than a lot of chemotherapeutics, right? And so when that came out, it was actually in Florida with Dr. Jeremy Horsekeeper, who's one of the leading researchers in cariology in the country and certainly the probably foremost expert on silver diamine fluoride. And we were both just kind of floored. We were like, wow, this is amazing, amazing research that's coming out. And so talking with that dental nurse when I was there, I said, what was the big difference for you? And she said, I think the biggest change for me was we moved from telling the parents what to do to simply asking them what they thought they could be effective at. And to me, that changes everything for us, right? If we move as a profession from telling patients what to do to simply asking them what they think they can be effective at, we're going to make a huge change when it comes to patients, again, doing the kinds of behaviors at home that they probably want to do, right? And, various other pieces as it relates to, hey, like, here's this treatment plan that we agreed to, and all of a sudden you just didn't come back for it. And what happened, right? Like, we know that completing that treatment is going to be healthy or is going to be helpful for you to get to overall oral health. So I think when we look at it from that perspective of, truly helping patients author their own change and us supporting them in that process, partnering with them, I like to say, certainly we don't want to ever do work on patients. We never want to do work to patients. And right. If we do work for patients, we will burn ourselves out and they won't be appreciative and everyone's going to be frustrated still, right? So even working for patients doesn't work. We have to work with patients to ultimately achieve these things together. And certainly this is one of the styles that I think that allows us to most effectively do that.
Yeah. That's a great phrase. I love that, motivational interviewing. That's a whole different that mindset's you different going in to have that conversation with that patient. Setting the stage, something, a motivational interview with them as a new guest, new patient to your practice, just it sets the stage for such a great relationship and then such a growth factor for a practice.
Yeah.
Such a totally. Growth factor. That 100%. That's a That is a huge differentiating factor from every other dentist out there. And it's so easy. You don't have to go out and invest thousands to start implementing that.
Nope.
That's two words. You can just go into going, okay, I'm going to go in and do a motivational interview with this patient. Wow.
Yeah. From the That's beginning, awesome. Right? There's those small changes that make a huge difference, right? I'll leave you with one of those right here. I'll give you two actually. So two huge changes that are really easy, really small that I think people could make tomorrow, right? And I've talked with a number of dentists, about this first one, and it's amazing how much patients notice it. So one of the things that I see patients happen to patients, and again, this happens to patients, it's not something that dentists do with them, is it's time for the patient to be leaned back, right? And what happens instead of asking the patient, hey, is it okay if I lean you back now? Right. Is a button gets pushed and it's immediately this kind of jerked yeah. reaction backwards and they're not expecting it. And maybe someone has a bad back and, you know, whatever. It's just, it's startling and it's surprising. And so simply asking a patient, hey, is it okay if I lean you back now? People are like, oh yeah, thanks for asking. Right. Like it's this different thing that happens to, you know, in this very small moment, but it makes a really big difference. So I've had plenty of dentists tell me like, hey, I started doing that. It was super easy to do and it made a huge difference. Right. So that's one. And then secondly, something that I always used to say to patients, especially in that new, you know, patient visit, as we were kind of crafting the treatment plan, you know, as I would say, I will make you a treatment plan, right? Again, this is my expertise, my knowledge, like I will make it. And as
you're the authority, you're the authority, Matt. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And as I learned more about this style and skills of motivational interviewing, as well as what's called shared decision making, and this is maybe even more important from our research and from our data, we see that shared decision making is the most crucial factor when it comes to, again, creating raving fans within your practice. And that's simply about giving them power and voice in choosing the treatment that they want, right? So instead of us saying, you have a cavity, you need a filling, right? It's, you have a cavity and here are the treatment options and let's talk about them and what works best for you, right? And now, instead of something being done to them or on them or for them, now they're the ones who are saying, I want this, which is a huge difference in terms of that dynamic. But to kind of start that process, right, just a very easy, small thing to change was, you know, I started saying, you know, hey, we'll take a look at x-rays, we'll take a look in your mouth, and then we'll kind of put together all that information and we'll work together to make a treatment plan based on your values and preferences. And it was like, whoa, like that's super different than I will make you a treatment plan. And now all of a sudden the patient has a voice and has a say. And so those are two things that, again, you could probably go out and implement tomorrow and probably notice a difference in terms of how your patients are perceiving their experience and what their role is in the appointment and the relationship as well.
You know, without a doubt, I will tell you that does work. Mentioned early on, you know, that we kind of felt like our DNA was similar. In that respect, we both have the helix of those two components, asking permission of the patient to do certain things. And then I coined the phrase, just like you did, we're going to work together. Mm-hmm. Or we're going to develop a treatment plan that you and I feel is really good. Yeah. And when they had shared investment in that treatment plan and they guide it and direct it, Matt, they don't do anything but say yes. Now they may not schedule it all right that day or may not schedule. I had patients come back to me 9 years afterwards to schedule, you know, major cosmetic work, but it was because I involved them in the process and they owned it. And when they own it like that, they want it.
Yep.
And because 100%. You listen. And because
I was just going to say, it might not happen on your timeline, but ultimately it's better to happen on their timeline than, you know, and to happen than it is to happen on your timeline and not happen at all, right?
Exactly. I have a friend that's in the AACD. He and I spent some time together at the meetings, and his staff came up to me one day and they were at a conference I was helping lead. And the staff came up and says, you know, Dr. John, will you talk to our dentist? And because he goes in these consults and we have scheduled 30 minutes and he'll stay in there for 2 hours, just browbeating these patients until they yield and say yes. Mm-hmm. And they walk out and we don't ever see him again. Yep. Wrong approach.
100% the wrong approach. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Okay. I want you to talk about your different kind. This fascinates me. I love it. I think this is where, you know, we introduce things on this podcast about helping differentiate and niche up practices. This one is awesome. I love it. Share with us, Matt, about this.
Yeah, well, thanks for the opportunity there to talk about it. We're very excited about it, and it's certainly been a transition for me from, you know, being a clinical dentist to leading a software company, right? Being a founder of a software company, but ultimately that journey rests in the fact that as I was doing some of that consulting in this space around communication and how do we do this work, one of the questions that I got from very thoughtful people was, how do I measure this, right? Because if we can't measure it, it's hard to actually make those changes. And certainly we see that in lots of areas of our life. If we don't have the data, it's hard to actually know. We just kind of keep doing the same things. And as you and I both know, I think that dental has, you know, historically had a dearth of data, you know, outside of financial data and maybe CDT codes, right? Like we just don't have a lot of really structured data. And so my co-founder, Carolyn Brown, Dr. Carolyn Brown and I kind of came up with this idea to say, great, like we think we can fill that void with a lot of data. But what's a really great product to start with, right? Like how, you know, lots of data we could bring, what would we really want to bring to begin with? And it's really this idea of what are called patient-reported outcomes and patient-reported experience metrics that are very common in medicine. Hospitals get paid based on these. So if you've ever, you know, been to the hospital, probably will get a survey afterwards asking about some very specific things and actually do get reimbursed based on your answers. So hospitals pay a lot of attention to this. It's something they really focus on. But to me, it's a simple way of bringing in the patient voice to your KPIs for your practice, right? We're talking a lot about the importance of listening and shared decision making and various other metrics that we know that drive trust, that drive loyalty, that drive a patient finishing their treatment plan, that drive staff retention, right? When you do these things well, your staff tend to want to stay, right? Because they're having a better experience as well. Reduces malpractice claims. All of these things, if we can produce that excellent patient experience, we can experience those outcomes. And so we went through and said, great, what are those parts of the experience that tend to drive loyalty, trust, et cetera? Let's measure those things from the patient perspective. And then let's give that data back to the dentists and to the dental groups that we work with. Can we really help them understand this from the patient perspective? And so that's what we do is we collect that data from the patients. We give it back to the dental groups in real time, effectively, which is very helpful too. One of the things about some of the data that's out there with regards to this now is you might get it every 6 weeks or every quarter or once a year. You're like, that's not really helpful when it comes to driving meaningful change. I need to know what happened yesterday or, you know, at least this week and be able to kind of, you know, be understand that, contextualize it, and then make a plan for how I can action, you know, that moving forward. And so that's what we do. We ultimately bring that patient voice back to the dentist. It's not something, it's not Google reviews, it's not reputation management, right? It is truly what we consider quality data. How do you actually improve the patient experience, those outcomes, and how do you make that meaningful? And so we've had some really great successes with our customers thus far. In terms of using this and being able to make changes from day one, that's actually my goal. We had a new customer who just onboarded yesterday, and literally within the first 45 minutes of onboarding, they had already received feedback from a patient that wasn't great. It wasn't like, hey, this was a shining star experience, but there was some real pieces within the feedback that they provided that allows them to today avoid that. And so when you think about this concept of experience management, there's this idea of next best action. So what should I do next? Then there's also this idea of, you know, kind of next incident avoided. So essentially, what should I not do, right? There's, you know, obviously we want to do some things, but what should I not do? And I think this practice that we onboarded yesterday has some things today that they won't be doing that happened yesterday, and ultimately will have better patient experiences for that. And we're super excited. We like to say that we use technology to bring humanity into a dental visit. And that's ultimately our goal, is to help dentists, hygienists, dental people in the dental practice have a better relationship with their patients.
This kind of feedback, when it's immediate like that, Matt, as you just mentioned, allows you the opportunity to then immediately, well, you can respond back to the patient, which I think, based upon what you're saying and the quality of the product, it's going to be a higher quality conversation between the office and that patient when they're sharing something that wasn't quite what we wanted it to be. Yep. It allows you the opportunity to also make a statement about who you are as the doctor in your office, really caring about individuals. And when people feel like they're listened to, understood, and cared about, they're going to want to stay and continue to be with you. And that's what I like about this. You know, Google reviews, those are, they're a lot of times they're just not fair. They're not fair. It's too emotional. And there's no way for you to respond. A lot of times, all you know, dentists or offices will respond, and it's inappropriate in the way that they manage that. And you know, with your product, when we talked a couple of weeks ago, you're sharing a little bit more in depth about what you know, some of the matrix that you use. It's the questions that you ask are quality questions. Mm-hmm. Again, there's a subliminal message being sent just by the quality of the questions. And it sounds like a great, great product, Matt.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we're super excited about it. Like I said, I think we, you know, see a huge opportunity to really bring this to dentistry in a meaningful way. Our hope is 100% to be able to ask these meaningful things that do matter, right? We have 14 experience metrics that we collect, 4 outcome metrics. They're all evidence-based and really looking at these, you know, ideas that drive change within in a practice. And our hope is that these practices have daily, weekly, monthly, you know, KPIs around this kind of information, just in the same way that they would, you know, around financial information or, you know, whatever it might be in their practice that they're looking to achieve. That without this piece, this is, you know, we like to think of the general patient experience, right? There's a lot of different touch points from the moment a patient might become aware of your practice online till the moment they recare. There's a lot that happens in that journey. And I think we see some other really great tools in the industry that are popping up or have popped up in the past 5 years or so that measure various parts of that journey. But we continue to see this gap when it comes to the actual service delivery from the moment the patient walks in the door till the moment the patient walks out the door. It's kind of a black box. And our hope is to help practices be able to peer into that black box and say, yeah, how can I level up my game here? How can I, you know, take it from here to here and really, you know, make an improvement so that my patients do come back again and again and again.
Yeah. You know, for a number of years, we were kind of swamped with dashboard softwares that would crawl into our main management software program at the office and gather data for us, statistical number data. And I had one of those for 2 years, but I knew something was missing. Here's the data. But what? What is it telling me? It's not telling me the things I want to know. I'm always curious about the patient's experience. And there was nothing out there like this, Matt, that would fill the gap between my management software and the dashboard, which would really tune me in to what the true factors were. And I swear, anybody who would venture to do business with you, with your software, they're going to see their practice change. You know, the more that I dove into the soft skills, Matt, in my practice, it wasn't by accident that my practice started growing. And it was far more fulfilling because you know, you don't have to worry about walking into that hygiene appointment with that patient and going, okay, is Mrs. Jones going to be cantankerous this time and whatever? You've made a happy patient. Yeah. I just love this piece. Great job. Great foresight.
Thank you. Yeah. We certainly see, you know, it work on both ends, right? It works for people, right? Where they're like, I enjoy my job more. I'm having better conversations. None of us want to go in and see a billion new patients every day. That's really hard. It's better to keep our patients there, you know, on a number of levels, right? From a relationship perspective, but it's also much more cost effective to keep a patient than it is to have to get a new patient, right? And so you've got this whole, you know, swath of patients walking out the back door and never coming back into your practice, essentially, it's consuming on a lot of levels. And so, yeah, ultimately, you know, we see that, right? Of not only does it produce that kind of, hey, I enjoy my days more, But in our very first customer just told us, hey, like our dentists have hit their production goals for 4 months in a row for the first time ever, you know? And you're like, that's amazing. Like these are the kinds of outcomes that we want to see, you know, on the business perspective. So those types of practices can continue to go and do that and see more patients and produce those kinds of outcomes for more people, right?
You bet. Well, it's interesting when I go to my medical appointments now, it seems like I'm at that point in life where I'm having to go just a little more frequent than I like. But it's inevitable. Within 1 to 2 hours after I've been there, they say, will you do a Google review? I mean, it's just kind of like, boom, that's it. And, you know, the suggested 4-star, and they also kind of suggest what to say. And I'm going, wait a minute, this isn't real stuff. This is not real. And automatically when I get that, Matt, it kind of lowers, in my eyes, the reputation of the practice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think patients are continually asking two questions of any medical field these days. Number one, can I trust that doctor in this office?
Yep.
Number two is, can I respect them? And can I continue to respect them? And I think they are looking at that question after every appointment. And if I'm asking those questions and I get a Google review within an hour, boy, it comes down. If I get the next day a really good question asked of me, I'm going, because I heard something once a year or so ago, and it just resonates with me. Good question, smart. Hmm. So if you ask a good question, your patients are going to think you're kind of smart.
Yeah.
You ask a great question, genius. So if you ask your patients a great question, they think you're a genius. And there is a big difference in between great and genius within the mind of patients. I want a genius that is compassionate, empathetic, caring, trustworthy to guide me through my journey rather than someone that's good or great that has, you know, average people skills.
Yeah.
And you're helping bridge the gap here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I 100% agree with you there. And, you know, obviously I could do right. You know, based on everything that we think on. And I think one of the cool parts about this too, from our perspective, right, is that, we have looked at the, you know, what I would call the kind of collateral damage, again, in scare quotes, on, you know, how does what we do impact Google, right? Because it's impossible at this moment for dentists and dental groups and whatever to not care about that, right? Is how patients might first find you online.
Yep.
So I just want to at least mention that, right? But if you want to get more and better Google reviews, the answer is not to go ask your patients for more and better Google reviews, right? The answer is to say, hey, we want your honest feedback. And it's not transactional at all, right? To your point of, hey, if you're asking a good question, you're smart. If you're asking a great question, you're a genius. If you ask a bad question, you might be considered, right, not very smart, right? And so
Absolutely. That
question of, can you give us a Google review, even if it's phrased differently, because patients are smart, right, to be able to say, oh, yeah, you know, can you give us your feedback on Google? It's like, no, you still want a Google review. You know, that it's a transactional ask, right? Like, I get something out of it as the dental practice. What do you get as the patient? Really nothing. And even if you have a bad experience, right, now you have to, they say, well, they can't say anything if they're following the rules and the laws, right? So they have to say, call us. Now I'm the one who had a bad experience and I'm responsible for calling this office back, maybe waiting on hold, maybe they're gone for lunch, whatever it is. Like, I'm not doing that. Now I'm even more angry, right? And so what we've seen actually with practices that have, you know, customers that have used, you know, our product is that their Google reviews go up, the quality of them goes up. So more 4- and 5-star reviews and less 1- and 2-star reviews. And so, you know, when you again ask in that way, that's like, hey, we really are here for you. Now patients are much more likely to kind of go somewhere and be like, yeah, this was awesome to us, right? And we get that feedback privately. But they're also much more likely to go shout it from the mountaintop or tell their friend, which I think is honestly even probably more important than Google reviews sometimes, right?
Yeah.
In terms of, hey, if I'm going to go tell 10 people about how great my experience was, that's probably better than, you know, one person just leaving a random Google review. So I think we've seen some of that happen, and that's really encouraging and exciting to me, because I just don't think that Google is the right way to measure healthcare. And it's certainly not what I trust when I go to make my decisions about where should I go. I'm much more likely to trust my friend than I am to trust, you know, okay, here's some Google reviews that I know can be gamed.
Yeah, you bet. You know, with Google reviews, I think a lot of people go in and open those up with a degree of fear and apprehension because of that bad review that's going, oh my God, now what am I going to do? Well, there's not much you can do.
Right.
But with your product, you know, they probably, most of your clients would say, I go to it with excited anticipation because it's going to be a growth opportunity for me to learn and receive valid information that people have given back because they want to see me grow and get better.
Yeah.
And so you have a coupling advocate with you versus an adversarial situation.
Totally.
I love it.
And Pat Bauer, who's the CEO of Heartland Dental, I'm sure you obviously know who he is probably, right? Largest DSO in the country. We just had him on our podcast recently, and we were talking about this idea of feedback as a gift, right? In the right hands and to the right people. And ultimately, we want to create what you're saying in dentistry is a group of people who are open to that feedback, who are responsive to it, because we want people to have great experiences in our chairs and in our offices and when they interact with our staff and all of those things. And so ultimately, if we can get that feedback, I think we can be thoughtful enough to really grow as a profession. And we're here to be a help for that.
You know, I think your different kind program here will help a dentist that when he's walking out of his office for the final day of his career, he can look back and then also ask the question, what kind of a dent did I leave in the universe of my patients and my practice? Mm-hmm. And your product, your software, will help them be able to answer that question and smile as they walk out that last day.
I love it. Our goal is to create different kind of dentist there, John. That's so beautiful. And that's why our name is what it is, right? Dentists who are not only kind, but materially differentiated from what a lot of people have come to expect from the dentist. And to that point, I think that would be a lovely outcome if we can help support that.
Well, I think your doctors that are now working with you, I think that's one thing that you can talk about is their legacy with them. And this is a big vital piece of it because it's the legacy that we leave ultimately that's far more important than the finances. Kudos to you. Great job, Matt. I love it. Bringing it home. Any final thought that you may share with them?
Yeah. If anyone's interested, obviously you can find us online, differentkind.com. Pretty easy spot to remember. If you want to connect on LinkedIn, like John said, I always love meeting people who are like-minded. And so very easy to find on LinkedIn, I think. You can find me there. And like I said, really just excited to continue to lead this charge with people like yourself, John. And thank you for, just the ability to have this kind of conversation today. I'm encouraged, that these kinds of conversations, I would say, are becoming more normal in our profession. Thanks to leaders like yourself who have really led the charge. And I'm just here standing on shoulders of giants like you. So thanks.
Well, I feel the same, Matt. It's been a delight getting to know you, and I know we're gonna continue this and partner in helping the audience, my audience, and your people get better, niche up, have greater fulfillment in their practice, and leave a legacy and smile when they walk out that back door. It's been a pleasure, Matt, having you with me today. Thank you for spending time. And this is Dr. John, and this has been the Fearless Dentistry Podcast.
Thank you for joining us on Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon. Stay fearless, keep pushing boundaries, and continue making a lasting impact in dentistry. Subscribe for more fearless conversations. Until next time, keep spreading smiles.